All right, brethren, good evening. Wednesday, March 17th. Hopefully you're all safe at home in the weather. Weather's pretty bad at the church. It kind of slacked off, so I'm hoping that we don't get a lot of noise on the tin roof. But tonight we'll be in 1 Corinthians 9. We'll go ahead and open with a word of prayer. Father, we ask for your blessings. We pray for all the brethren, all of our families, Lord, as the storms go through. We pray for safety. Father, we thank you for the medium of Facebook being able to go live and to have the preaching come into the homes of all the saints. And so we ask for your blessing this night. Thank you for Jesus Christ our Lord. Father, we ask, oh God, that you would speak to us even as we sit in our homes and as Kim and I sit here at the church building. Again, Father, we ask for safety and mercy and a blessing this night. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. All right, 1 Corinthians 9. We're going to go ahead and read 1 to 14 and follow along. 1 Corinthians 9, verses 1 to 14. Paul says, "Am not I an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord, Jesus Christ our Lord, that is? Are not ye my work in the Lord? If I be not an apostle unto others, yea, doubtless I am to you. For the seal of mine apostleship are you in the Lord, or are ye in the Lord? Mine answer to them that do examine me is this: Have we not power to eat and to drink? Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as the other apostles, as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas?" And when you see Cephas, when Paul says Cephas, he's talking about Peter. "Or I only am Barnabas, have not we power to forbear working? Who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges? Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth a flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? Say I these things as a man, or saith not the law the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, Thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and that he that thresheth in hope should be a partaker of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we reap your carnal things? If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Do ye not know that they which minister about the holy things live of the things of the temple? And they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar. Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel." Well, as we begin 1 Corinthians 9, it should be abundantly clear that Paul's apostleship was being called in question specifically by the Corinthians. Now, the answer to the three questions in verse 1 is yes. Yes, Paul was commissioned as an apostle. Yes, Paul saw the Lord. And yes, the saints and sinners at Corinth were Paul's work in the Lord. So Paul opens chapter 9 by defending his calling and commission to be an apostle of Christ. One of the evidences of the authenticity of his apostleship was that he must be called and that he must be sent by the Lord Jesus himself, which is precisely what happened. Now, the word apostle officially, it means officially commissioned and sent by the Lord. So they were called, and you remember in Matthew 10, the Lord shows the calling of the original 12. And here Paul was called, and he calls himself as one born out of due time. We'll see that in a few minutes. So remember, the title of apostle could only be given by Christ himself, and then they were sent by the Lord. In fact, the word apostle means sent, but also gifted with miraculous powers from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Now, in this chapter, here from the beginning, Paul is asserting to the Corinthians, "I am every bit an apostle." with all of the authority and power and responsibilities of an apostle, as much as Peter and John, and as much as all the other apostles. What he's telling them is, I am just like they are. So, verse 1, am I not an apostle? Absolutely he was. Now, next you'll see the question, am I not free? Now, what did Paul mean by this, am I not free? Well, consider, brethren, that the apostles were the sole authority in the New Testament church. They were the builders of the church under the authority of their commander, who was the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, they were free from any earthly authority. Christ gave them the authority to build the church. They answered to none but the Lord Jesus. So the apostles were commissioned by the Lord Jesus with the power and authority to teach and to preach the gospel. Now think about this. Apart from the Lord Jesus, only the apostles had the authority to establish and write the truths and the doctrines which we stand upon today. To actually write the truths and the doctrines that were given to them by the Spirit of God for the building of the Church of Jesus Christ. And then they had the authority to call, to ordain, to authorize and empower elders and pastors in the cities in which they went. And so they were to lead the new churches. Now let me show you this, that the apostles did this. Go back to Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. If you'll follow me there, Acts, the book of the Acts, chapter 2 and verse 42. So remember that the apostles were commissioned by the Lord Jesus Christ. They were trained by him for those 3.5 years. And then at Pentecost, they were endued with power from on high. And now they were the beginning architects of the New Testament church. Look at Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, speaking of the apostles' doctrine. Says, and they, well, let's read verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word, that is Peter at Pentecost, they were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they, that is the people that God saved that day, they continued steadfastly in what? The apostles' doctrine, and in fellowship, and in breaking bread, and in prayers. Now turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. So, beloved, we teach the apostles' doctrine and all the epistles of the scriptures themselves. Ephesians 2 and verse 19. Ephesians 2 and 19. The apostle Paul here to the saints at Ephesus, he says, now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, speaking to the Gentile converts, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And are built upon, notice, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. And so the apostles were given the authority from Christ to begin to build the church. And in fact, he says that. We'll look at that in a moment in Matthew chapter 16. But back to the question, am I not free? Well, the freedom Paul is speaking of here, I believe, refers to his freedom from any earthly authority as an apostle of Christ. Jesus gave them power and authority, again, to build his church. And look back, let me show you in Matthew 16:13. In regard to that, this is when the Lord Jesus asked the apostles that question, which, beloved, we ought to ask ourselves. And we should know this. Verse 13 of chapter 16, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Now he pierces a little deeper in a moment. He says, and they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some say Elias or Elijah, others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, and this is a good question to ask sinners, whom say ye that I am? Or whom say ye that Jesus Christ is? Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. The rock was Peter's confession that Christ was the Son of the living God. Not upon Peter. But he said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And listen, the Lord Jesus entrusted the apostles to begin to build the church. Listen, when you give somebody the keys, you're giving them the authority. And so they had the keys, and the keys of the kingdom to unlock the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And Christ gave them that authority. And so verses 1 and 2, yes, Paul was an apostle of Christ. Yes, the scriptures teach us that Paul did in fact see the Lord Jesus when the Lord spoke to him and called him. So yes, Paul's an apostle. Yes, he was free from any earthly authority to teach and to preach and to actually give us apostolic doctrine. And then he had actually seen the Lord Jesus. Now, people probably resisted his apostleship in Corinth because he was not one of the original 12 apostles during the Lord's earthly ministry. But listen, Jesus is the eternal Son of God. He is not bound by time or that earthly life that he lived. And we know that he appeared to Paul. Well, he spoke to Paul. Paul heard his voice on the Damascus Road. I'll just let you judge when I read the scriptures. So, as the Lord Jesus personally called each apostle in the days of his flesh, so after his death and resurrection and ascension, he now personally called Saul, now called Paul, on the Damascus Road when he revealed himself to him as the one whom Paul was persecuting, or then Saul was persecuting. And he revealed to him also that he would send him to be the apostle of the Gentiles. He told that to Ananias. But look at Acts chapter 9. Let's look at that account. The book of the Acts chapter 9. This is the apostle Paul's conversion experience. I guess we could say that. In chapter 9 and verse 1, we'll read the first 9 verses. Notice, it says, And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priests and desired him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, that is the way of Christianity, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem, to persecute them, to kill them. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Now, this is a unique and special experience that the normal believer, when they're being saved, is not going to experience something like this. This was a miraculous experience, supernatural, specifically designed for Paul, because he would specifically be called by the Lord Jesus to the apostleship. So the Lord says, Why persecutest thou me? Now, remember, the Lord takes it personally when his people are persecuted. So when someone persecutes a Christian, Christ takes it as if it was done unto him. In fact, you can see that in Matthew 25. Inasmuch as you did it unto the least of one of my brethren, he says, you did it unto me. Or as much as you did it not unto one of these, you did it not unto me. And so Christ takes personally those that persecute his children. Verse 5, it says, Paul said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, neither did he eat nor drink. Now, turn over to Acts 26. This is when Paul recounts this experience in the book of the Acts 26. Now we'll go to 1 Corinthians. Acts 26, verse 12. This is when Paul was before Agrippa. We'll pick up in verse 12. He says, let's read verse 11. He was testifying of how the Lord saved him. He said, I punished them oft in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceeding mad against them, I persecuted them unto strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above, light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise, stand upon thy feet, for I have, notice, appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom I now send thee. We know Paul was the apostle of the Gentiles. What am I sending you to them for, Paul? To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. And so we see Paul testifying of what he saw, and we see that this was supernatural. None of us, when we're saved, hear the voice of Christ. Christ doesn't speak directly to us, but here Paul was being saved, spoken directly to by Christ. Christ appeared to him and called him to be the apostle of the Gentiles. Now 1 Corinthians 15, and we'll go to verse 5. 15:5. Keep in mind that Paul communicated with and was called by the resurrected Christ. By the resurrected Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:5. We won't read the whole section there, but we'll start in verse 5. And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. This is after his resurrection. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles that am not meet to be called an apostle. Not fit, Paul says, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am. And by his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. And so we see Paul's proof of his apostleship and of having seen the Lord Jesus. Now, let me just throw this in. You'll drive by churches sometimes and you'll see that it doesn't say pastor or elder, it says apostle. That's false. If you see the title of a preacher at a church that calls himself an apostle, he is gravely wrong. And there are no more apostles of Christ. There are only pastors and teachers and perhaps evangelists. Now, let's move on to verse 2. Go back to Acts, 1 Corinthians. Sorry, I was in the Acts. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 2. 1 Corinthians 9, 2. Excuse me. So in verse 2, Paul says, If I be not an apostle unto others, yea, doubtless I am to you. To who? The Corinthians. For the seal of mine apostleship are you in the Lord. So Paul said, I may not be considered to be an apostle to others, but I am to you. And he's specifically speaking to the saints at Corinth. So listen, that's another proof of Paul's apostleship. The saints at Corinth. If God had not called me to your city, Paul's telling them, and commanded me to stay there, and to preach the gospel would not have come to your city. So you are my work in the Lord. You are the seal of my apostleship. Now, turn back to Acts 18. Let me show you this. Acts chapter 18. Because Paul was told specifically by the Lord to stay in Corinth. Listen, that's what we want the Lord to say about any of our cities. I have much people in that city. And so that's our prayer for Springfield. That's our prayer for Lacombe. That's our prayer for Tickfaw. It's our prayer for Laplace, that God has much people in those cities. So look there at Acts chapter 18 and verse 1. It says, after these things, Paul departed Athens. That's when he was at Mars Hill. And he came to Corinth. And found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy, with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart Rome, that is Claudius Caesar. And because he was of the same craft, and this is important, so remember that, he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, he worked. And by their occupation, they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they opposed and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be on your own hands, I am clean, and henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. And he says, and he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all of his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, and he said this, be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. And he continued there 1 year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. So we see Paul was told to continue there, and that I have much people in this city. So not only a specific call to the apostleship, he was specifically called to go to Corinth and stay there for 1 year and 6 months. Now, look at Galatians 1:1. This is more of the proof of the Apostle Paul's call to the apostleship. Galatians 1:1, and then we'll look at Galatians 2:8. But look at Galatians 1:1. Paul writes here, Paul an apostle, you see the parenthetical writing, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ, and God the Father who raised him from the dead. And then chapter 2 and verse 8. And this is the other apostles giving him the right hand of fellowship. And here we see the distinction that Paul would go to the Gentiles and Peter would go to the Jews and the other apostles. So you see in verse 8, Paul writes, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision or the Jews, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James and Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas, because Barnabas was with Paul at that time, the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, that is the Gentiles, and they unto the circumcision. So back to 1 Corinthians now, in chapter 9, if you go back there, so many proofs, and we could go other places, but suffice those to be sufficient for now. So, Paul says in verse 3, after he gives these proofs, these things that authenticate his apostleship, he says, my answer to them that do examine me is this. Now, I don't believe he's talking about what comes after that. I think he's talking about what he just said. That's his answer to them that do examine him. So that's verse 1 and 2, the proof of his calling, the proof of his commission. So now verses 4 to 6, let's read those again. Now he says, now Have we not power? You know, you're going to get the sense here that since they called in question his apostleship, they called in question the churches supporting him, or them supporting him. And you'll see that. He says, have we not power to eat and to drink? Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas? Or I only and Barnabas, have not we power to forbear working? So, having proved his apostleship, Paul now proves that he should have all of the rights or powers or privileges that come along with being an apostle of Christ. He's basically saying, I have the same rights and power like the other apostles to forbear working so that I might give myself to the ministry of the word and to the establishing of the churches. I have the right and the power to lead about a sister, and I believe he's talking about a wife, a sister or a wife, just like the other apostles, some of which were married. Now, I don't know about the others, but we know for sure that Peter was married. And so, the point here, I think, is the apostles did not stay in one place. They did not stay at one place, but they traveled. They were traveling preachers, traveling apostles, going from city to city, preaching and teaching and establishing the churches. And if they had wives and children, their families should also be supported as they traveled with them. And so, and of course, verse 6, Paul says, or I and Barnabas, have we not power to forbear working just like them? It's basically what I believe he's saying there. Don't we enjoy the same privileges of the apostolic ministry? Of course, Barnabas, it was not an apostle. Paul was, but he was his co-laborer. So, just like the other apostles of Christ, Paul's saying, I should have those same privileges, those same rights. And yet, when we read, as we move on in the text, Paul went to great lengths not to be burdensome to the people to whom he ministered. Even though he had the right to forbear working, we just read in Acts chapter 18 that Aquila and Priscilla were tent makers, so Paul went and worked with them, so he would not be burdensome to them. And so he should have had the right to forbear working. He actually did. But listen, what a lesson for preachers today to not be burdensome to the people of God. Listen, if the preacher needs to work, then you know he needs to take those burdens off of the people and not be a hindrance. In fact, look at Acts chapter 20 and verse 34, the book of the Acts, chapter 20, Paul with the Ephesians here, and as he testified, listen, this was Paul's manner wherever he went. He did not want to be burdensome as an apostle of Christ, and so when the need was there, and when the opportunity came up, he would work with his hands. Notice in verse 32 of Acts chapter 20, he says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified, them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, you yourselves know that these hands have ministered to my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said it is more blessed to give than to receive. So Paul wrought with his own hands. He even said this to the Thessalonian church. Go to 1 Thessalonians 2:9. And I believe Paul's referring to the fact that he labored among them. 1 Thessalonians 2:9. He says, for you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preach unto you the gospel of God. So he didn't want that to be a hindrance to them. So back to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and we'll pick up now in verse 7. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 7. So, Paul's talking about, or he's asking these questions, don't we have the power to forbear working? We certainly do. And he goes on to prove his point further. Who goeth a warfare anytime at his own charges? Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth the flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? Say I these things as a man, or saith not the law the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? Absolutely he does. Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? And then Paul says, for our sakes no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. So listen, Paul says soldiers don't fight for no pay. They will be compensated, and they should be compensated. The vineyard owner eats the fruits of his vineyard. He toils and he labors, and he should eat the fruit of it. And the caretaker of the flock, the shepherd, they are partakers of the meat and milk of their flocks. Now, Paul uses this Old Testament reference. You can listen while I turn there, or you can turn there. It's Deuteronomy 25, because he said it's written in the law. And when you go back to Deuteronomy 25 and verse 4, actually, you'll see that. Thou shalt not muzzle the ox when he treadeth out the corn. And a muzzle, obviously, was some type of appliance or fixture that was over the ox so he couldn't eat. And so Paul says, no, you don't do that. The ox needs to be able, while he works, to eat so that he can be sustained. And then chapter 5 of 1 Timothy. Chapter 5 of 1 Timothy, 5:17. Timothy also states, Paul also states this when he's teaching Timothy about the eldership. 5:17, Paul tells Timothy, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. And so, back to 1 Corinthians, and we'll get close to closing out here. Back to 1 Corinthians. So, verses 10 and 11. The law, it's written for our sakes, Paul says, that he that ploweth, he's got his hand on the gospel plow, and he's breaking up the fallow ground, and he's preaching the gospel, he should plow in hope. And the context, that he should be sustained by the church, or by the churches. And he that thresheth in hope should be a partaker, or be partaker of his hope. Verse 11, Paul says, if we have sown unto you spiritual things, and it's obviously broadcasting, preaching the word of God, teaching the word of God, discipling the people, if we have worked hard and labored among you, spiritually laboring in the spiritual fields of your hearts, is it a great thing if we reap your carnal things? In other words, that you would sustain us with food and raiment and water? If others be partaker of this power over you, and I think he's alluding to the other apostles, are not we rather? I mean, they were specifically in Corinth for a year and 6 months. Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. And so Paul says, though we should be supported by you, we have not pressed that upon you. I've labored with my hands, with Aquila and Priscilla. So the Paul's great concern here was not for his own rights and privileges. And I want you to see that. He proves, and I think he should prove, that he is an apostle of Christ. But now he's saying, listen, my greatest concern is not that I am an apostle of Christ, but that the gospel of Christ would not be hindered, and that we would not be burdensome to you, that we would not be chargeable to you. Listen, there were many enemies of the New Testament church in its infancy. There were many enemies of the gospel of Jesus Christ, as there are in our day. Therefore, Paul did not press his right and his power to actually be supported by the churches. And so, I think that's a good lesson for us. In fact, the word suffer here, in verse 12, means to endure patiently or silently. See, Paul says, nevertheless, in chapter verse 12, we have not used this power, but suffer all things. In other words, people saying that, okay, you're not an apostle, you shouldn't get paid, you need to work. He says, we suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. And then, finally, verses 13 and 14, he says, do ye not know that they which minister about the holy things live of the things of the temple? And we know that from the Old Testament scriptures. We know that there was the portion for the priests and the sacrifices that they should be sustained. And it says, and they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar. Even so hath the Lord ordained, and this is where we'll finish up, the Lord hath ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. In other words, it's how they're supported. And I'll close with two passages in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 7. This is when the Lord called the 12 apostles, and actually it's after he called them, and he sent them forth to preach. And we'll not read the whole thing, we'll just read a few verses because I want you to see what the Lord told them. He said in verse 7 of chapter 10, Matthew, as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Now you see what he just commissioned them, gave them power to do? There's no preachers that have that power today. That was given to the apostles. Notice, provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. See that? He says, trust in what the Lord provides you from the people that you preach to. And then Luke chapter 10 and verse 3. And we'll close here. Luke chapter 10 and verse 3. Jesus says, go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And in whatsoever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. And if not, it shall turn to you again. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking, such things as they give. For the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. And into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. And so, you could see, Jesus says, the workman is worthy, or the laborer is worthy of his hire. So, back to 1 Corinthians quickly, and we'll close. So, we see that in this text, Paul solidifies, or he defends his apostleship. He talks about that, and then he talks about their right and privilege. They had power to actually be supported by the church. And specifically, I think he's talking to the church of Corinth, but it's an example for all of us. But Paul said he would not be burdensome to the ministry, and that's why he wrought with his own hands when we saw those scriptures. But this is an excellent example for the churches today, and we should take this example. And I'm not saying that because I want more support. I'm not saying that at all. But it's the church's responsibility to not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the horn. And so, beloved, I pray this has been a blessing to you. I pray that the Lord has opened up this scripture to you. And I pray that you'll be safe this night. And the Lord will bless your evening. And Lord willing, if He give us tomorrow, that He bless tomorrow to His honor and glory. Let's dismiss in prayer. Father, we thank you for this text in 1 Corinthians. We thank you so much that, Father, you teach us from the example of the writings of Paul, which is the Word of God. We thank you for it. We thank you that we can learn for how we ought to be in the New Testament church today. Father, we thank you that the apostles were given the Word of God to write and to record for us. And now we build the church upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, and that Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. Oh Lord, help us, Father, to always stay true to your word. Father, help us to walk by faith in it. Help us to always, on a daily basis, every day, to trust our souls to the Lord Jesus Christ, to the person of Christ, and to the cross of Christ, and the truth that He died on the cross for our sins, took the wrath of God in His own soul and body, was buried, and on the third day rose again, and Father is ascended to the right hand of the throne of the Majesty on high, and now He sits interceding for us every single day. Thank You so much, Father, for the goodness and grace and compassion and the love that You give us every single day, even the understanding of Your Word. And we'll give You the praise. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.